We read the Word of God tonight in Proverbs chapter 3. The text we will examine is verses 5 and 6, well-known and beloved text. Let's read the entire chapter together, Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, Go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Read the word of God that far. Let's consider verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in the Lord with all our heart is not only a command, but also a blessing, a comfort. And I suppose that is probably why this is one of those very much beloved texts in the Scripture, one of those that we remember and memorize very easily, because we don't view it necessarily as a command, but as a blessing and a comfort and an encouragement. And it is that because trusting in the Lord with all our heart is the only way to true peace, the peace that passes understanding, the peace of God that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus in all of the circumstances of this life. And to have that peace of God, to have rest in our souls is a great blessing, if not the greatest blessing, this side of heaven. One of those circumstances of life, one of the most basic circumstances and necessities, is our daily bread. The food and drink that we need for our bodies to be nourished and strengthened, and therefore, one of the most basic needs is a fruitful harvest of the crops of the field. The prayer day service is intended to remind us of that necessity, to remind us of our dependence upon God for that harvest. And that's why it takes place now in March at the beginning of the growing season, as the farmers are about to cast their seeds into the ground. We are reminded tonight and exhorted to trust in the Lord as those seeds are sown, that the Lord will bring the increase, that the Lord will bring the harvest, that the Lord will give us our daily bread and a prosperous fruit of the ground. And so we are called tonight to trust in the Lord with all our heart, in regard now to many things, but also in regard to the sowing of the seeds and the harvest of the crops, our daily bread. That trusting in the Lord, as we have said, is a command. It is a command. It is an element of the first commandment of God's law, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Because the one in whom I trust with all my heart is my God. My God is the one in whom I trust with all my heart. And so God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt trust in me alone with all thine heart." And this command God has given to us as a blessing, that in this way we will understand more and more that we can trust in him, because he is able and willing to supply us with all our needs for body and soul. And in that way of trust, we will and do experience that peace that passes all understanding. Let's consider the text under the theme, trusting in the Lord with all our heart. First of all, the spiritual calling. Secondly, the life circumstances. Thirdly, the blessed promise. In our text, Solomon exhorts his son, and the Holy Spirit exhorts us, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." The one in whom we are to trust with all our heart is the Lord, and not our own understanding. What is our understanding? Our understanding is our human mind. It is our weak human mind. Before the fall into sin, man had a very powerful intellect. But after the fall into sin, man's intellect was darkened. Not only did he become sinful, but he experienced the consequences of his sin, which was also that his very understanding, his mind, his intellect, was weakened. There are still, of course, very intelligent men and women in the world still today in the fallen and sinful world. People who have astounding comprehension and powers of reasoning and imagination. But every single human mind in the world today, since the fall into sin, is a weak human mind, a weakened human mind because of sin. And also, in addition to that, the human mind is finite. No human mind of any age of history before or after the fall is able to comprehend everything there is to understand. The mind is finite. The mind is limited. And no human mind is capable of controlling all of the circumstances in one's life. There are circumstances and forces that surround us which no human mind or power is able to control. And therefore, it would be utter folly to lean upon one's own understanding, one's weak and finite mind and intellect, and whatever powers he has been given. Rather, our text exhorts us to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The Lord and he alone ought to be the object of our trust. As we read in Psalm 118, verse 8, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." And in Psalm 125, verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Trust in the Lord. The Lord is God. And therefore, because the Lord is God, the Lord is able to help us. The Lord is able to provide us with all that we need. The Lord is able to supply us with our daily bread and everything that we have need for body and soul, because the Lord, being God, is almighty. The Lord is the one who laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning. The Lord is the one who called forth the dry land out of the waters. The Lord is the one who caused that first season of growing and crops to take place. In Genesis 1, verse 11, let the earth, the Lord said, bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. The Lord is the one who in the very beginning caused the crops to sprout up out of the dry land so that there was grass and herbs and trees and fruit for man to eat. The Lord is the one who set the bright, blazing sun there in the sky and sends its rays continually to the earth. The Lord is the one who makes the water evaporate from the lakes and the rivers and the oceans and then sends the rain upon the ground. The Lord, He is God. He is almighty. The Lord is awesome in power. The Lord does whatsoever He pleases. And the Lord is the all-wise God. He has all understanding. His intellect, His mind is perfect and without flaw and without sin. His intellect is infinite. There is no searching of His mind and understanding. The Lord is perfect, infinite, unbounded, transcendent, almighty. He is God. And the Lord, who is God, is our God. And therefore, because this great God who fills the heaven and the heaven of heavens, who has all power on heaven and on earth, this great and infinite God is our covenant God who loves us from all eternity. Because His name, Lord, in all capital letters in the text, is the name Jehovah. And that name Jehovah is the name I am that I am. I am a faithful, covenant, unchanging God. And that name Jehovah refers in the New Testament to Jesus. Jehovah, the Lord in whom we are to trust with all our heart, is Jesus. Jehovah has become a man in His love for us. He has become a man in order to seek and to save us. He became a man in order to die for us, in order to give His life on that accursed tree of Calvary, in order to pay for our sins, in order to reconcile us to Himself and set us free, in order to establish in His own blood the everlasting, unchangeable covenant of His grace. Great is His faithfulness. His compassions do not fail, but day after day His mercies are new to us because we are His beloved, chosen, redeemed in the blood of His own Son people. He's able. He is willing. He is a faithful God. And therefore, trust in Him with all thine heart. Lean not on to thine own understanding. What foolishness would that be, to lean upon ourselves, to trust in ourselves, to look to ourselves for help, for strength, for support, for the supply and provision of all the things we need. No, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Trusting in the Lord is a deeply spiritual activity of the heart, beloved. Trusting in the Lord means that I look by faith to the Lord, whom I cannot see, whom I have never seen, whom no man hath seen. I look to Him by faith to supply me with all that I need, to help me in time of need, to provide me with the necessities of the body and the soul. I look to Him. I depend upon Him. I put my hope in Him, in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord expresses itself in the words that we speak and in the deeds that we perform. But first of all and foremost, trusting in the Lord is a spiritual activity. It's an activity of the heart. Trust in the Lord with thy heart. The heart is the spiritual center of every human being, of any human being. The spiritual center of a human being is his heart. It is from the heart that the issues of life flow. It is in the heart that all of our deepest thoughts and intentions and convictions, our loves, our hopes, our trust, it's all found in the heart. Deep, deep in the heart where no one can see it but God. Deep in your heart, the proverb says, the Word of God says to us tonight, deep, deep down in your heart, trust in the Lord. That's a spiritual activity. Now everyone trusts in someone or something. Everyone, every human being looks to someone or looks to something for help to supply them with what they need. Maybe that's themselves. Maybe that's another human being. Maybe that's another creature. But everyone puts their trust in someone or in something. The Word of God in this text is calling us to do something which is contrary to our nature. The Word of God is calling us, who are by nature sinners, to put our trust in someone whom we have never seen, whom we cannot see, whom we will never see, except when we see him in the face of Jesus. But that will not be until we arrive in heaven. He calls us in this time, in this our present life, to put our trust in the invisible, spiritual God who inhabits eternity. The living and true God, the only God. He says, look beyond the world of the things that you can see. Look beyond all of the objects and people and creatures and powers and forces of this world that you think are able to provide you with what you need. Look beyond those things to me, the invisible God, the true God, the Almighty God, because I'm your God and I'm able and I'm willing to help in time of need. I'm willing and able to guide you throughout this life. I will be with you. Trust in me with all your heart. Not half-heartedly. Not a little bit of trust in self or a little bit of trust in these other things and some trust for me or most of the trust in me and then also a good deal of trust in other things and other persons, but with all your heart. With your whole heart. That's the first commandment of God's law. Very similar to, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Also, thou shalt trust in the Lord thy God with all thy heart. All of thy heart. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't work, that we shouldn't put forth effort, that we shouldn't go to our job and labor and use the gifts God has given to us. Oh, we must. But doing so, the text tells us, trust in your heart, in the Lord, to bless your labors, to bless your work, and to give fruit upon your labors, and to provide you through your labors with all that you need. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and in all thy ways acknowledge him. That too is part of the calling. The spiritual calling of the text is acknowledge him. He wants to be acknowledged. And that too is, first of all, in our heart. First of all, in our heart, we consciously think of the Lord throughout our day-to-day life. As we're working at our job, as we're receiving our paycheck, as we're going about our activities, think of the Lord, be conscious of the Lord, acknowledge the Lord, and confess that He alone is your helper, but also with our lips. He also wants to be acknowledged from our lips and with our tongues, with the words that we speak. He wants the trust that is in our heart to be expressed in our words and in our actions. That acknowledgement, beloved, ought to take place in our conversations with one another. In our conversations with our husband and wife and children in the home. Our conversations with our fellow saints in the congregation. Also in our conversations with non-Christians in the workplace, perhaps. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge that the Lord is your help and your hope. Don't merely give acknowledgement to other persons. There's a place for that, of course. Children should certainly acknowledge their mother when she provides them a meal. They should acknowledge what she did in providing them that meal and give thanks to her for that. But we should also acknowledge that the Lord gave us this meal through our mother. We may acknowledge that there is good weather right now. The sunshine is wonderful and the warmer air is a wonderful thing. But we must acknowledge that the Lord has sent that good weather. We can give a thank you to our boss when he gives us a promotion, but then we must acknowledge that the Lord has given that promotion to us through our boss. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That's a literal thing. In our literal speech and talking and conversation, acknowledge him. Acknowledge that the Lord has done this and that. And it means, too, that we do so in our prayers. This is prayer day. This is our prayer day service. And it's called prayer day because it is through prayer that we acknowledge God. We do that both in our thanksgiving and our supplications. In Philippians 4, verse 6, the apostle says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." When we give thanks to God, we acknowledge him. In our prayers, when we give thanks to him for everything he has given to us, for all of the many blessings, then we acknowledge him. We acknowledge that we did not get those blessings ourselves, and no one else gave us those blessings, but the Lord gave us those blessings. We acknowledge him, but also when we make our petitions. Also when we bring our supplications to the Lord in our prayers, we acknowledge him. We acknowledge that we cannot gain these things for ourselves. We cannot get our daily bread. We acknowledge that only the Lord is able and willing to provide us with all that we need. Trust in the Lord. Acknowledge him with all thy heart. And then in the second place tonight, in all of our life circumstances, the text is very broad. The text can be applied to the harvest and to our daily bread, but the text is very broad. The text tells us, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, at bottom, really, each of us has only one way, and that's the one way that God has determined for us from all eternity, that begins with our birth and ends with our death, that begins spiritually with our regeneration and ends with our glorification unto eternity. That's our way. That's the way that God has given to us and along which he guides us. He knows that way in all its fullness from beginning to end. He knows it in all its details, in all of its twists and turns, in all of the forks in the road, in all the decisions that are taken, in all the options that face us. He knows that road in all its fullness. We don't yet know all of it until we discover it by living it and walking down that road. He's determined. There's really one road, one way, one path. But that one way includes many ways, many paths, many options and decisions that face us, all of which lead down so many different paths and ways, which to us are still unknown. Some of those ways are the stages of life that we go through, from childhood to youth, to adulthood, to old age. Some of those are the various occupations that we fulfill, our marital status, and many other things. But some of these ways are simply the routine activities of life. The routine activities, that too is part of our way. And about all of these ways, not only our text, but also, for example, Psalm 37, verse 5 exhorts us, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." What are some of these ways? Well, it being prayer day tonight, there is, first of all, the way of getting and eating our daily bread. And in that regard, there is, first of all, the way of the farmer. In seed time, the farmer must trust in the Lord with all his heart as he sows the seeds into the ground. He must trust in the Lord for the harvest, that those seeds will come to fruition and there will be a harvest. The farmer must not lean on his own understanding. He will be tempted to do that. His understanding of the way crops grow, his understanding of how to irrigate, his understanding of tractors and equipment, His understanding of the weather, his understanding of agriculture, his understanding of all kinds of things. A farmer has great understanding. He'll be tempted to lean upon that understanding. But the text says to the farmer, lean not upon thy own understanding. You'll be tempted to do that, but don't do that. To do that will be great folly. Now, this doesn't preclude that the farmer employs his understanding. The farmer must employ his understanding, and all that he knows has been given to him from the Lord, that he will employ it, his gifts and talents, his education, his experience, his understanding. He ought to employ those gifts to the best of his ability in his labors, but not lean upon it. To do so would be foolishness. And the farmer knows that very well. He knows that he cannot control the weather. He cannot control the sun and the rain. He cannot control so many forces which are outside of his abilities. Ultimately, he cannot even control whether or not he will have crop failure that year. He can't control that. All of these are powers and forces outside of his control which are in the hands of the Lord. All of these are powers in the hands of the God of heaven and earth, who is our God. And therefore, the farmer must trust in the Lord with all his heart. He must place his hope in the Lord, his trust, that the Lord will provide, according to his good pleasure, the harvest that year. In regard to getting and eating daily bread, in a second place, there is the way that the rest of us take, who are not farmers. And in that way too, whatever your way might be, we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Whether that means going to class tomorrow, whether that means looking for a job, or going to a job, or making bids on a job, whether that means driving our semi-truck, or going to the office, or going to the factory, or seeking customers and accounts, whatever that might be. In all these things, the text says, trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him. All of us are tempted to lean upon our own understanding, our own education, our own experience. Oh, especially our experience. We tend to lean upon and are tempted to lean upon our experiences in life. Tempted to lean upon our skills, whatever those might be, and our intelligence. And we ought to employ all of those things. Those are all God's gifts to us, and He wants us to employ those gifts to the best of our abilities in whatever calling He has placed us and whatever kind of work He has given to us. But do not lean upon those things, He says. But trust. Trust that deep spiritual activity of the heart, of the deepest heart, with all your heart, lean upon, trust in, depend upon, and look to the invisible God of your salvation. That's the text. To do anything else is utter folly. We cannot control the economy. We can't control the stock market. We can't control the value of the dollar. We can't even control the decisions and actions of our boss. Ultimately, we can't control whether or not there's food on our plate today. We cannot prevent that everything we possess will be lost. We cannot prevent that. We do not control that. There are forces outside of us that can cause that to occur. And that's why the text tells us, trust, always trust with all your heart in the Lord. He is your faithful, loving God, whose faithfulness never fails. Put your trust in Him. Day by day, by day by day, in thought and word, in prayer, acknowledging Him consciously and praying for His provision. So there is the way of obtaining and eating our daily bread. And in that way, and in regard to that way, we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart. There are other ways. Of course, there are countless ways. There are all of those ways which are entered upon by means of an important decision, often made by young people. An important decision in regard to a life's calling or a path of life, a decision which will lead down a path which will affect the rest of one's life. There's the way of college education or of getting a job right after high school. In that regard, young people, the Lord exhorts you in the text, trust in the Lord with all your heart as you face that decision to go to college, to go right into a job, which college to go to, which job to seek. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean upon your own mind, upon your own experiences, or upon anything else, but trust in the Lord. That means that you go to Him in prayer. It means that going to Him in prayer, you do so recognizing that He has already predetermined everything in your life, from beginning to end, from your birth to your death. As Psalm 73 puts it so beautifully, that by His counsel He guides us and afterwards receives us into glory. He guides us according to His counsel throughout this life. He already knows everything, every step, every turn, every decision. It's already determined. Knowing that, young people, go to Him in prayer and put your trust in Him. Pray to the Lord. Say, Lord, cause me to know Thy will. Give me the wisdom so that I see and understand the gifts Thou hast given to me and the interests that Thou hast given to me and the opportunities Thou hast given to me. Give me the wisdom to see those things and to understand. Give me the courage to walk through the doors that Thou dost open, and give me the contentment and the patience in regard to those doors which are closed. Go to Him in prayer. Seek His will. Acknowledge Him. Put your trust in Him. There is also another great area of decision making called dating and marriage. And in regard to that too, young people, or whatever age we might be, if we are in that category, the Lord says to us, trust in me with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In that regard too, we're so tempted to lean upon our own understanding. In regard to dating and marriage, probably we're more tempted to lean upon our feelings. And the Lord says now in the text, don't lean upon your feelings, but trust in me. Put your trust in me. I am your rock. I am your God. I know what's best for you. And I've revealed it to you in my word. And I will guide you and help you in these decisions. Don't trust in your feelings. Don't trust in your understanding. Don't trust in your own evaluations. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy mind. Look to Him and acknowledge Him and seek His will. You pray, young people, to the Lord, help me to know Thy will. Give me in single life contentment with my present state. In single life, give me the gifts of chastity and godliness and patience to await Thy will and to await whether Thou wilt put me into the state of marriage. And if I am faced with the opportunity to date someone, pray about that opportunity. Pray for wisdom. Whether or not to pursue, to go through that door. And if I am engaged, if you are engaged, pray for the grace that God will give to you to enter into the state of marriage, to be faithful to your husband or to your wife, and to have a godly marriage that reflects Christ and His church. There's the way of dating and marriage. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. There's also the way of adversity. There is the way of sickness, of surgery, trouble and distress, difficulties and burdens, loss of loved ones, loneliness, tragedy, pain, and persecution. The way of adversity. And in the midst of all these valleys, the Lord still says to us, also in that way, trust in me with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Do not lean upon anyone else either or anything else, but let us put all of our weight, beloved, upon the Lord, our God, our rock and our salvation, our refuge and our strength. He is the only one who can be with us and provide us with all the strength that we need through adversity. That's very important for us to understand and to remember. He has promised to work all things together for our good, all adversities, all difficulties, and all troubles, to give us rest for our weary souls, to be with us in the storm, to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. And he says to us, trust in me. Trust in me as I lead you through the way of adversity. But the most important and the most fundamental way of all is, of course, the way of salvation. And Jesus tells us in John 14 that he is that way. I am the way. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And so when the text says, now trust in the Lord with all thy heart and acknowledge him in all thy ways, it means in regard to the way of salvation, the way to heaven, the way to the Father's house, the way to glory and life everlasting with God and his covenant forever and ever. The way is Christ. And the way is faith in Christ. And the text exhorts us, trust in Jesus with all thy heart and lean not on thine own understanding. Do not trust in your own works and your own worth or in anything in yourself, but lean upon Jesus. Put your trust in Christ and in Christ alone. He is the way to the Father, with all thine heart, trust in him. And then the Lord adds a blessed promise. He says, he shall direct thy paths. This is the promise. This is the incentive, perhaps, the incentive. He will direct thy paths. So trust him. The idea is that God himself will be our guide. God himself will guide us. Psalm 48 verse 14 says, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. He will guide us through this life, through the paths of our life. And as we come to forks in the road where we face options and decisions and we struggle with making those decisions, he will direct us down the way he would have us to go. He will guide us. And even when we go through forks and we take ways and paths of adversity that we didn't desire, that we didn't ask for, doors that we didn't seek to go through, but the Lord brought us through those doors, the Lord will also guide us on those paths. He will be with us. He will guide us. We will never be alone on this path. We will never be alone on any of these paths. We will never get lost on this path. We will never stray from this path. The Lord will direct our path. The Lord will be out in front of us, guiding us, directing us down the path, leading us on our way through this life, over the mountains, through the valleys, along the riversides, by the green pastures. He will lead us onward, upward, till we get to our heavenly home. And he will welcome us there. He will direct our paths. How will he do that? He won't do that by giving any special dreams or visions. He's not going to whisper into our ears what he would have us to do. He's not going to give us special revelations anymore as he did in the times of the Bible. But he will direct our paths by his word and spirit. He's given us the Word. He's given us the Scriptures. He's given us His own revealed Word, which contains in the Old and New Testaments His will for our lives. And although in the Scriptures He doesn't tell us specifically and exactly what to do in every situation, He does nevertheless tell us what to do spiritually in every situation. In every situation, He says, trust in me. Keep my commandments. Be patient. Be content. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Again, trust in him with all thy heart. Pray without ceasing. And so many others. The Scriptures are rich and full of the ways that we are to take, the ways that we are to live, the way that God tells us to go. Enter in at the straight gate. For narrow is the way that leads to life, The Lord tells us again and again and again, and He gives to us also the preaching of that word. He gives to us the preaching so that all of those callings and exhortations of His word are expounded and applied to us, and we are reminded of them time and time and time and time again through the preaching of His word. He guides us. He directs us through this life to our heavenly home. And through His Spirit, He works in that word, in the hearts of all His children. Through that word, the Spirit goes forth. The Spirit goes forth tonight in this word, as the Spirit calls out to each one of us, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." The Spirit enters our hearts. The Spirit knits that word to our hearts. The Spirit causes us to embrace that word, to receive that word with gladness. The Spirit applies that word to our hearts and to our lives. And we do actually trust in God. And we will actually trust in God. And we will be comforted. And we will be blessed, because we will know our God can be trusted. He loves me and He cares for me. By His word and by His Spirit and by His providence. He will guide us by His providence. He will open doors and He will close them. He will provide opportunities and take them away. He will give us gifts and adversities. And through this providence, He will show us His will. He will reveal to us what He has determined already is the path we must take, so we can trust Him. He is our guide. We can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou art our God and our Father, that we can trust Thee, and that by Thy grace we do trust Thee. We pray, Father, Thou wilt hear our prayers tonight, that Thou wilt provide for us, that Thou wilt bestow upon us Thy grace and Thy mercy and Thy loving kindness, that Thou wilt give us to know that Thou art with us, near to us, guiding us every step, and that we may know and be sure that our whole life is planned and determined by Thee, and that it is good, and that Thou dost lead us to eternal glory. Go with us now in this night. Be with us in the remainder of this week. May we labor with all our might in the calling Thou hast given to us. Forgive us all our sins through the precious blood of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.